Now, one thing you're going to have to catch me on with this is that this is the case of Belle Gibson. Gibson. And, I mean, I've actually been practicing saying the name out loud because there is a serial killer named Belle Gunness. That's not this, because she was, like, 1800s, I think, Ohio. And a very, very different, horrible person. So, Gibson.
Either that or just, like, a weird future time traveler that they brought the internet back to the 1800s.
That would be wicked impressive, and if that was the case, then we would have to do that case first.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, okay. Belle Gibson. Gibson was born October 8th, 1991. So into the age of the internet. As a child, she says that she was raised by a single mom. She says her name was changed like 5 or 6 times, and she never really knew why. Her mother had MS. She had a brother several years younger who was autistic. And because her mother had MS, Belle reports that she was like the mother of the household. And she's had some quotes since then that are really kind of snotty about, like, I would beg my mother to grow up and be the mother of the house, but I don't resent her for that. Which kind of sounds resentful.
Just a little bit.
So, I don't know. Okay. So her description of herself is that she was severely obese by age 11. I don't know what that means. I've never seen any photos of her before adulthood. But she also says that she cured herself by willpower and taking her brother on walks around the block. Okay.
Which isn't unheard of.
That's a lot of walks around the block for somebody severely obese.
For an 11-year-old, yes.
It's a lot of walks around the block. Like, you'd think that there's, like, footprints carved into their circle around the block. And, okay. I mean, I've never seen any photos. But she says that by the time she was 12, she was so burned out by being the mother of the house that first she went into foster care and then moved in to a family friend who happened to be a 60-year-old male.
So many layers of that don't make sense. Just from a system standpoint, the weird creeper aspect of it.
Yeah, I get stuck on the ickiness factor myself. Okay. You know, and that's the thing. She's really vague about a lot. So, whatever. My favorite quote in her entire story is by her mother. She says, "What a lot of rubbish. Her brother's not autistic. She's barely done a minute's housework in her life." And I love that, like, it sounds about right. Like, between the two, that sounds a little more, I mean, I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle, but that one rings true to me. Her mother admits she did have MS, but says that's it. Like, that's the only piece of truth that we know. Okay. So, classmates of hers from high school talk about how one of the things that they remember the most about her is that by age 16, she was a vocal anti-vaxxer. This matters later.
I mean, I remember being in high school and having my standpoints, but nothing that serious where I'm going to advocate for something like that.
Even if you're going to jump up on a soapbox for something, like, jump up on some sort of vague political something, or like,
yeah,
we need free sodas at lunchtime kind of bullshit. It seems like a weird thing for a 16-year-old to get stuck on. Or even her friends say, we don't know much about her home life. They weren't invited to her house. And they remember her changing her look, like, even more than a typical teenager. She'd go from goth to cheerleader to band geek looking to, like, all of these looks. And, I mean, I got stuck in the band nerd look and I stayed there my whole high school career. So, I went goth in college. So I definitely changed up. But this seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's not, you know, over the course of 6 months, you've changed 5 different cliques.
Well, yeah. And I mean, she left school after 10th grade. So that's even faster changing looks.
Yeah.
So basically, she was all of the Breakfast Club. So yeah, she left school age whatever that would be. What, 15, give or take?
15, 16, yeah.
Yeah. And then we don't know anything about her. Like, it goes dark in her history. Around 2011, she comes out and says, First of all, she appears with a child. She's had a son around 2010. The other thing that we know is that in 2011, she says, I've had a bad reaction to Gardasil, a vaccination for cervical cancer for girls. HPV.
HPV.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is interesting to me because that's still optional now. Like, it's not like the measles, mumps, and rubella and DTaP vaccines where you have to have them in order to go into public school. So, if she's an anti-vaxxer, what is she doing getting this optional vaccination?
Yeah, unless it was earlier on when she was in high school, but then, like, the timing of that doesn't match up either.
It seems weird. It seems weird. Because even then, you know, by the way, we're talking 2010. So, it's a couple of years before Emily would have been asked. Emily was born in 2000. And they started talking to us about maybe she could have it done around age 14, 15, so 2014, 2015. And even then they were like, look, it's a really new vaccination. We don't know what kind of side effects it has. So we're encouraging people to get it. But if you say no, we understand why. So that really doesn't ring true with the anti-vax life. Bad anti-vaxxer. Just in the corner. She says that very soon after having this vaccination, she started to have vision problems, memory problems, hard time walking, then had a stroke, which age 20 seems accelerated for that.
So in the case of a vaccine, I could see blaming that because, again, accelerated. But, I mean, I've watched plenty of those daytime TV commercials of this vaccine, or not vaccine, but this medication will give you X, Y, and Z. Stroke generally isn't on that list.
Oh, shit. Now the only one of those I can think of is that there's some medication or other for social anxiety. And if you listen to the side effects, all right, this is terrible. One of the side effects is explosive diarrhea. For me, that would create even more social anxiety than just having social anxiety in the first place. So she says that after that, so like all of these things are not enough. After that, she was diagnosed with malignant brain cancer, given 4 months to live. Okay. I mean, she never came out with who diagnosed her or what the deal was. So I'm skeptical, but maybe that's just because I'm an asshole. It's possible.
I mean, in a basic sense of why would I call you on that shit when you're just some random person telling me? Sure. Like, I would just accept that.
Probably. I mean, I don't generally question strangers, especially. Like, if you came to me and you were like, I have malignant brain cancer, I would have a lot of questions out of concern. Mm-hmm. A stranger comes to me and says that, I'm going to be like, sorry.
Right?
That's shitty. 2 months in, she says she had both chemo and radiation at the same time. Again, that's not my understanding of how it works. But I'm not a medical doctor. I don't even play one on TV. She says this is happening. She's walking into a hospital in Melbourne. She says, did I even say that she's in Australia for all this? She's in Australia for all this. And so she's walking into this hospital and she like passes out on the lawn of the hospital. And that apparently people don't intervene. I don't know, but she says she woke up on her own also outside. I mean, because again, me, I don't really care who you are. If I see you in a lump outside a hospital, I'm going to go over and at least poke you with a stick and see if you're still alive, you know?
Oh, visiting hours were over. Nobody was around.
Right? What are you doing taking up this lawn? You're going to kill the grass in this spot. Could you move? Something. But she says nobody intervened. She woke up and she had an epiphany, which apparently was not a side effect of any medication. And she says, I'm not going to live like this anymore. So starting right away, she abandons all conventional treatment and decides she's going to do alternatives like herbalism, which I'm pretty sure that means the use of herbs and not like a religion. Kind of a religion, I guess, now that I think about it. Something called craniosacral therapy, which is like massage, except less. It's like a mixture between massage and Reiki. So Reiki doesn't require hands-on, and massage is like deep tissue, and craniosacral therapy is like they barely touch you, and you're supposed to be all better.
See, so you could have saved her by poking her with a stick when she was passed out on the lawn.
That might have been more effective. What else did she do? Meditation, whole foods. And so, therefore, we've got no dairy, no gluten, no preservatives, no sugar, no genetically modified foods. That doesn't leave very many options. My thinking is that what that leaves her with are, like, organic dust bunnies.
As opposed to the highly processed dust bunnies that you get from McDonald's down the road. Organic.
For sure. You cannot do McDonald's dust bunnies anymore. Like, that's off the list altogether. So, a year later, having been diagnosed with malignant brain cancer, now she's fixed. It's all better. Okay. Then again, she goes dark for a little while. She's not really heard of. There's not really anything. And this is all, by the way, by her report. Like, there's no backup. There's also no, she doesn't even keep a journal at this point, so we don't really know. She had kind of an Instagram account, but people weren't really paying a lot of attention to her at that point. So 2013, so a year and a half later, she claims that she has a miscarriage at 5 months. Now, what has been reported about this is that she was in a new relationship. So her son, his name is Olivier. I'm going to leave that alone, the name. I don't like it.
Cultural, yeah, no comment.
But I don't like it. So she had her son in 2010, then broke up with the father. 2013, she says she had a miscarriage at 5 months, coincidentally right after one of the times that she broke up with this guy. And apparently this was like a relationship-saving move.
You can't leave me, I'm pregnant.
Well, and then you can't leave me, I'm no longer pregnant, which, you know, having gone through pregnancy several times, 5 months is right around the time that you sort of unquestionably are showing. Mm-hmm. So right about the time she would start to show evidence of a pregnancy, she doesn't have a pregnancy anymore. Again, maybe I'm just an asshole, but I see coincidence in nothing here. I see, like, right around the time that she should have shown evidence, oh, it's not there anymore. Okay, same with her brain cancer. Right around the time she was supposed to die from it, oh, I'm fine. Okay, so she starts instead of having a child, she does what all of us would do, right, and starts an Instagram account telling everybody about the loss she just had. Yeah, okay, except I wouldn't have done that.
Started an Instagram account. Not even like she was using the social media she already had.
Yeah, no, because the one she started is called Healing Bell. And I don't know what she had prior, but this was going to be, and she says that she was going to create an inspirational supportive resource for other people. I call bullshit. Like, I can see starting a journal. I totally can understand. Like, I had a blog. You know, that makes sense to me. But starting something in order to be inspirational to other people, you're not thinking about other people when you're going through this shit. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. Again, I call bullshit or I'm just an asshole. I accept all possibilities here. But I'm pretty sure that part is whatever. In retrospect, maybe she believed herself. Maybe she believed her own words. So, again, things, I mean, we could go through step by step, but I don't want to anymore. Because I'm starting to hate her by this point. If it's not clear already, I hate this woman. So, I find, and we'll come back to it, but there's a lot of aspects to her story that I find sort of personally offensive. And just, I mean, rampant asshattery. That's really how I look at her. So now she starts building up followers. You know, she had learned how to be social media savvy enough to get a lot of people, you know, following her thing. And so, I mean, she starts telling people after this miscarriage instead of getting better and moving on and believing her own, like, succeeding with her own claims of health, instead she gets sicker and sicker and sicker. She has uterine cancer, liver cancer, blood cancer, leukemia, spleen cancer. Like, she's just, it's like cancer roulette, and she's losing every time.
So again, she took those dice I was talking about earlier, hopped over to WebMD.
Oh my god, that's exactly what happened. It was like a bingo cheat, you know, and she's going for the whole board coverage, right? The thing is that, I mean, basically, okay, so she stays all, like, upbeat and positive and motivational, and basically she's following the live, laugh, love philosophy of healing. And, okay, I mean,
I always thought that was the self-medicating with Valium in a glass of wine and a bubble bath.
Kind of. That may be what her herbalism worshipped.
Ah, oh, there you go.
Dust bunnies in the bubble bath. Oh my god, that idea is gross. Now I really hate it. Now that I think about it, I don't want any dust bunnies in a bubble bath ever.
That was the most, like, that is the most horrifying part of this story I have visioned. Thanks.
I'm on board too. Thank you for coming down with me down that road, because, okay. So, she writes a cookbook and also creates an app called The Whole Pantry.
Because you were throwing the whole pantry out to find the dust bunnies. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, and now I don't know whether it's W-H-O-L-E or just H-O-L-E, but somewhere there are dust bunnies. How's that for an image? You're welcome. If I'm going down this road, I'm going all the way down this road. So by 2013, she has this book out. And Apple buys in. They wrote it the best food and drink app of 2013. So it's really slick. And I've seen screenshots of it. It's really pretty. And they you know, so it wins this award in 2013. And it was supposed to be a default app in their 2016 release of the Apple Watch. So, I mean, there's a news article about her in 2015 in Australia that unironically refers to those 200,000 followers that she built up on Instagram as a cult following. And at the time, they meant it as, like, how great is she that all these people are buying in?
Well, yeah, cults are always good until you find out something's wrong with it.
Until they start serving up the grape Flavor Aid. Oh, my God. It has to be organic Flavor Aid, doesn't it?
No, they got to be dust bunny flavored.
My teeth feel funny thinking about that. So, okay. So we're up to 2015. This article comes out that basically canonizes her. I mean, it just, every positive adjective you can come up with, it throws it at her. And so, of course, there starts to be a little bit of backlash. Because part of this article, she claims 25% of all proceeds are going to charity. And at one point, she's directly quoted as $300,000 are going to charity. But then, okay, as soon as you quote something in the news, somebody's going to go after it and check. They were only able to find $7,000 that were actually confirmed as being donated.
That's quite a bit less.
Yeah, I don't do math in my head that much less, but it's a large percent less. I mean, if I had to choose between I'm going to give you $7,000, I'm going to give you $300,000. I don't have to think about which one I want. Starting in 2015 is when you start to get, like, the backlash interviews, such as one of her friends steps up and, you know, it's supposedly one of her best friends and former employees steps up and says, you know, she would post on social media that she's going to one of her cancer doctor's appointments. And the reality is she was at the dentist getting veneers.
She didn't specify which doctor. Oh, no, she did specify cancer doctor. So, yeah, there's no misinterpretation there either.
I mean, can you get cancer of the teeth?
I mean, she probably had it.
If you're going for full board coverage, then that may be one of the square. I don't know. Then another friend comes out and says she admitted her diagnosis was questionable, that her friend asks her, like, who gave you these diagnoses? Like, point blank. And Belle says, it was Dr. Phil. And the friend says, was there a last name here? She's like, I don't know, just Dr. Phil shows up at my house and takes me to appointments places.
Yeah, he had his nurse Oprah there to help out. She was sitting at home watching daytime TV.
I'm saying, Dr. Phil, fuck that. Like, of all of the doctors you could choose, like, I'm going to sit home and watch Dr. Phil. And he's going to, that's what it was. Dr. Phil. Mm.
It makes a lot of sense, though, when you think about all of the ideas she had for her diet and her life mantras. She was probably just looking to be a guest.
She probably was. She probably had like a live, laugh, love thing on her wall. And she's watching Dr. Phil. And she's got like, I don't know, kale in a pile on the counter.
And because she spent all morning watching all the daytime TV, she didn't sweep and saw the dust bunnies. And it all just fit together.
That's awful. But yeah, I'm saying. So it comes out more like so Penguin Publishing are the ones who did the cookbook. And they're like, we never checked for her medical condition. We just accepted that she said she had this thing. And I have to say fair on that. Like, I'm not sure they could have checked because of HIPAA laws. I don't know what the privacy laws are in Australia, but I believe Penguin is based in the U.S. So they probably never even considered trying because of privacy laws, confidentiality shit. This article comes out about her in February of 2015. By March of 2015, everything shuts down. She deletes all of her social media. And so suddenly there's 200,000 Instagram followers being lost, wandering amongst the wilds of the world, looking for somebody else to tell them to live, laugh, and love.
Who is going to support them with their need for cloud backgrounds and fancy text?
It's true. Like the papyrus font, because Comic Sans is clearly out, right?
Of course. It's not whimsical enough.
Well, but papyrus looks serious. Can't be whimsical when you're, you know, not dying of brain cancer.
Not with that attitude, but if you were to live, laugh, and love, you could be both serious and whimsical.
It's true. I'll try harder. So she was asked outright by an interviewer a couple months later, have you ever had cancer? Do you now? And she was like, no, none of it's true. Very shortly after that, she's dropped by Apple Watch. She's dropped by Penguin Publishing. Like, everybody drops her. There's a headline in an Australian newspaper. Belle Gibson, fake wellness blogger, is fined 410,000 Australian over false cancer claims. This is like 285,000 US. So that's a big chunk of change. You know, we were talking about that $300,000. Now, if I'm fined it, I want the $7,000 fine. But you don't get to say I'm giving money to charity and then not do it. Like, that's not allowed. That's lying and stuff.
Well, I mean, she said she was a cancer survivor and overcoming cancer. The charity was herself.
Apparently. She's very, very sick. She was her own cancer, maybe. I don't know. Well, going down the dust bunny road again, and I don't want to. But she had to have all these dust bunny tumors removed and excised and shit. So, I mean, she's still there. The case is still rolling through the Australian courts right now, as far as I understand it. She's been discredited by everybody. And so, like, one newspaper talked about how she probably never get that following again. I'm like, probably?
You know, I don't know. Anytime I hear that, where it's anything like a scammer or a cult leader, a murderer, whatever. It was brought up to me recently. If you were to think about Charles Manson, if he had social media, he would have had a way bigger following than most celebrities.
It's true. No, it's true. And that's the thing, is that there are always going to be people now who are going to say, like, I don't care what scientists say. I don't care what, you know, reporters say. I still am going to hitch my wagon on her train, or whatever it is you hitch your wagon onto. And she's right, and she's my hero. Because she's pretty, and we feel bad for her.
Because she speaks to my soul, and the stars have aligned.
And she lives, and she laughs, and she loves.
She loves dust bunnies.
She does. She does. But she doesn't have any anymore. They've been excised. So, I mean, how did she get away with this? And there's a lot that she got away with. The money is almost the easiest part to me. You write an inspirational cookbook, and it was probably reasonably accurate in terms of here's how to make a meal with foods, you know, and then go for a walk around the block a whole lot of times with your autistic brother. And if you eat healthy and you exercise, you're going to lose weight.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel better. I mean, or so I hear. I don't eat healthy and I don't exercise, so it's not me. But
and I don't have an autistic brother, so I can't vouch for that either.
Oh, my God. It's true. It's maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the trick. I have dust bunnies. I'm certain I do.
I'm pretty sure I have one under my desk. I'm not going to try to eat it, but I'm going to let that dust bunny live, laugh, and love.
And you should. You know, it's, won't you think of the dust bunnies? So, but they, you know, one of her friends, like, so what's more interesting to me is how she scammed individuals and she got to go a long way in convincing people to look at her as an expert. Now, this is 10th grade education, and even then, it doesn't sound like she was an especially good student or certainly not technologically savvy. That she just figured out these ways of writing a cookbook and creating an app, like, that seems pretty tricky to me.
Yeah, but you've got to figure she probably had already been pulling in some sort of money, whether that be donations from her followers or some sort of miniature sponsorship to where she could put money into people writing those things for her. Or she could have just convinced somebody in her following to go do the things for her at that point.
Okay, but why wouldn't we know about them?
Would you want to come forward and admit that you created this app that's complete bullshit?
I mean, yeah. I mean, because it was slick looking and because it was going to go on Apple Watch.
Which then brings up the other question. If it was launching around Apple Watch, the app existed, okay, 2013, Apple Watch was 2016, give or take. My guess is if it was the biggest app on their whatever category it was in, food and health or food and fitness, I'm fairly certain that Apple probably had some stake in that being developed for a brand new piece of tech. So, of course, if then they were behind it or they were funding it, Apple's not going to come out and admit that.
Oh, so like a confidentiality, non-disclosure agreement for Apple.
Yeah, here's a prototype that you can try to run your app on. You're going to have some sort of communication with them to get that done. They're not just going to hand it over without anything in writing.
I see. So, okay. So you're saying that, like, it's not just about the person not bragging about the app because it crashed and burned, but they can't.
It's either they can't or the people behind it don't want to, because the people behind it are bigger and have a lot more to lose if they were to be wrapped up in it.
I mean, fair. Okay. Yeah. I got, you know, this is the stuff that I don't think about, is that, you know, you've got to have, it's not that I'm naive, but there's a degree of naivety when it comes to tech where I would think, like, I made a big thing. Look at the thing that I made. Even if it crashed and burned, like, I think of the people that I knew, the people that I still know that are programmers to a degree where I don't know that they would be socially smart enough to shut up. But if Apple makes you shut up, or if you are clued in socially enough to realize, like, this is actually kind of embarrassing, let's not brag about it. Well, I'm trying to say in a nicer way that I know a lot of tech nerds, but they're idiots. So, okay. You're talking about, like, externally applied de-idiocy.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Some of the stuff that's interesting to me about her is that, I mean, of course, there's the social pressure of, like, when somebody comes to you and says, I have cancer, or, you know, I have to go to treatments for a thing or whatever, you don't really ask them. You don't push that far. Like, I would want to know, like, what are you doing? Are you going to see doctors? Are you taking care of yourself? But ultimately, I'm not going to ask you, what's the name of your doctor? What's the name of the drug you're on? That kind of thing. And, you know, one of her friends says, like, you think you're a terrible person for even questioning it. And I can see that. Okay. What's interesting to me about her is that she kind of walks this interesting line of, I can handle my own health, and in fact I can cure myself of malignant brain cancer, and yet I don't really know what reality is. Or she sort of, if you watch her in interviews ever, she comes across like she's very naive, and it's like, I don't know which way to go about this. Like, was she savvy enough to navigate her own treatment and decide what's best and what's not, or is she this clueless, basically, child in an adult's body who doesn't know how to, I don't know.
I think it just falls into her trying to find that role. Like, what is the role that's going to best suit me to get out of this? Because that's what she had done through high school, as she was growing up, as she was ending up doing all of this. Like, what character do I need to be to where things are okay?
Right, to be a chameleon. And I mean, and if that's the case, then you have to be pretty smart in order to be the chameleon. But all of your brain gets funneled into showing people what they want to see. And so, I mean, I just feel like a lot of times, living straight, as it were, walking the straight and narrow, the non-dust bunny route, is less work than building all of these lies up and remembering. Like, I think that's some of what fascinates me is I forget, I can't remember lies. You know, it's a lot of work to come up with a new lie for each occasion and then to remember what it is you said.
Fair, but in the same breath, as much work as that takes when it's paying off in, you know, $300,000, millions of dollars, whatever it is, that's your job. So of course you're going to put in the extra work.
It's work ethic in the wrong direction.
Yep.
I mean, there's a quote by her that she said in that first interview that was all, you know, canonization, Saint Bell. She says, I believe that people are here to be teachers, and I know that I defied so many universal and life rules for a reason. And in the moment, that was her riding this inspirational horse made of dust bunnies. What the fuck am I doing even now with all of these, like, I'm going to just use all of the analogies at once. It's fine. But she was sort of, this is the hill that I'm going to die on, is that I'm inspirational. And okay, so let's back up a second. That's one of the things that bothers me the most, is that I have been, and I know a lot of people with chronic health issues, and the last thing you want to do is set out to be inspirational, like, deliberately. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you end up being that way, but that's not the point. Like, you're too busy living your life each day to be like, I'm going to wake up and be inspirational to other people today. Like, it hurts to take a breath some days, and so you're not worried about the other people.
Yeah, you're not setting out saying, I'm going to be an inspirational figure. Let me microwave at this door open so I get cancer.
You know, that just in no, like, once when you are sick, the last thing you want to do is look sicker, because you realize that it's not actually all that fun to be sick. Like, I would like anything, I would give anything to be healthier. And so I'm not going to keep adding on new cancers. But what, you know, the ultimate that bothers me is that her, this hill that she's, you know, trying to plant her flag and then die on is that I'm going to say that I can cure all of these illnesses with Whole Foods and Dust Bunny intensive diet. That could kill people. Literally and legitimately, people could die by viewing her and this Dr. Phil as experts if they choose to forego actual cancer diagnosis. Like, I'm not okay with that.
Well, and she made it very obvious when it came to the things like the charities and whatnot. She wasn't worried about the other people. She might have claimed she was as that character because that's what her followers needed to hear. But in reality, all she cared about was herself.
Yeah. And that comes back to that quote that she had about, like, I defied so many universal and life rules for a reason. Turns out, yeah, she defied all these universal and life rules, but the reason was money.
Yeah.
And I hate her. I hate her so much. So she's lost her house. She's lost her following. She's working her way through the court system. And I hope that they are as harsh on her as they can possibly be. I hate her.
And then in 10 to 20 years, she'll come out with a brand new Instagram saying, look, I turned my life around after going wrong. You can too by following this dust bunny based set of laws.
I hate it so much. She's gonna fuck. Oh, okay. You're right. She's gonna, and I hate her even more. Thanks. I didn't think I could, but good on you.